Welcome to PR360, where every week the brightest minds in public relations, communications, and media discuss the topics and trends you need to know about. PR360 was produced in partnership with Global Results Communications. Now here's your host, Todd Perry.
Welcome back to PR360. Our guest today is April White, CEO and founder of Trust Relations. With nearly 20 years of experience representing Fortune 100 companies, including Weber Shandwick, Edelman, Spong, and Rubenstein Public Relations, she is skilled at developing targeted communications programs that convey strategic messaging, compelling narratives, intangible brand attributes, and subtle points of differentiation. April is an award-winning communications specialist, official TEDx speaker, and writer for both B2B and B2C experience. So welcome to PR360, April. Is there anything I missed?
No, it was very thorough. Thank you so much for the introduction.
Yeah, no problem. We want to make sure people know who they're dealing with when they tune into the show here. Let's see here. So I guess it was 2014 when you started Trust Relations. And your goal was to kind of shake up the PR world and kind of create something new. A, what were you leaving behind from the old world of PR, and what are you pushing towards?
Oh, it's a great question. So there are a couple of things. In terms of the industry, I had some experiences of the agency culture not being exactly what I would want. And so I basically set out to turn that on its head and say, okay, I want to create the agency I would have wanted to work at. So that was one big piece of it. There was a lot of, I saw some issues with transparency when it came both to how we were inviting clients to be true to what they wanted to say about themselves. And I also saw some issues with transparency in terms of how clients were being billed, serviced, et cetera. And so I basically tried to redo those things as well. So okay. one of the main things that I like to focus on with clients is making sure that we have proof points to substantiate any claims they're making about their brand. So we aren't, you know, sort of falling into the traditional bad reputation PR gets for spin.
Creating
narratives out of something that's not so. And so I like to tell clients that you have to do what you say before you can say what you do. And so it's a lot of let's figure out, okay, great, we want to talk about ourselves this way. Let's make it so. And if you don't have the proof points now, no problem. Let's brainstorm what that could look like on the operations side and put those things into place, right? So you want to be known for sustainability. Do you have anything that the press would find interesting that would actually, they would buy that storyline, right? If not, let's do something, you know, let's formalize a program for what you're doing with recycled couches or let's, whatever it is, right? So there's some of that happening, but then also something that we've done that's pretty unique is we have a point system in place to gamify clients' budgets. And that is, it's an interesting way of making sure that we're in lockstep every single month with their priorities. So at the beginning of every month, we send through, hey, this is what we want to do with your budget. What do you think? And that way there's never any question what we're doing. And there's also not a misalignment in terms of, okay, this is really, you know, what we should have been doing this month, but we didn't get told until after the month was over, right? So there's some of that happening. And then the other really, you know, sort of nice side effect is that it's a great way of making sure that the expectations are aligned in terms of the amount of work that we can do for a certain amount of budget. Mm-hmm. So we aren't over-servicing to the point where we're compromising our ability to remain in business, right? and also making it really easy for clients to see if they might need to upscale and, you know, go up a jean size, as I like to say. Like you're busting out of, you know, your current jeans. Let's go up a size.
Okay. I love that. So it seems to me that the idea of trust really runs all the way through the company, whether it's trust with the public that you're not, you know, doing the bait and switch or the old switch and bait, as some ad guys I used to work with used to say. And then also within with the client, making sure that everything's transparent.
Yes.
I would assume that that type of relationship allows clients to potentially stay with you longer because they have a lot of trust. It's not, what are these guys doing? You know, the left hand's doing one thing, the right hand's doing the other situation.
Exactly. It's that. And then the other thing is because of our emphasis on a really nice, supportive, respectful culture, we don't have the same turnover that has been, you know, pretty notorious, I would say, within the PR industry, especially in the agency side. And so the other really nice thing for clients is that they have a consistent team, and it's not like every 3 months there's a new team member, you know, the rotating revolving door of like of a new, you know, a new account person. Oh, look, there's somebody new on our biweekly call yet again, right? So that's something that we've been able to nip in the bud by really doing, you know, a nice job of making sure that everybody is supported and respected and included, and you know, we're not doing any of the letting things roll downhill or pushing a lot of work down on junior people and making them work 80-hour weeks and, you know, those kinds of things.
Yeah. So then when that would happen, I don't know who I'm emailing every week. Is it who am I?
Exactly. Yeah. Unfortunately, that's something that too many people have experienced.
Now, when it comes to the idea of trust, that kind of is a through line in your company. Also, I think a big talking point these days in PR because of the rise of influencers, social media, is the idea of authenticity. And I've talked to, you know, a few people on this show, and they've discussed just how important it is to be authentic when representing their clients. But it's not that easy of a thing to do. You know, it seems, you know, it's a tricky thing to do. So when it comes to trust public relations, what are your thoughts on the importance of authenticity right now? And how do you go after it? How do you find it?
I think it's extremely important. I think people are demanding it. And because of the new landscape with social media, you can't hide anything that you're doing. So in the past, you know, PR could kind of, we could sort of hide things under the rug or shove things in the closet and you know, go ahead and pretend everything was still really nice and neat inside. But that's not the case anymore, right? So if there's any place where a company isn't doing what it's, if it isn't aligned with its values and it isn't doing what it says it does, it's going to get called on the carpet. So I think it's really, really important to do that. But that said, I also think it's really important to stay true to the values that the company has had along the way. And if you're going to make tweaks, do them incrementally in a way that looks authentic. So for example, I get uncomfortable when I see brands that have no history of any sort of socio-political stances on anything. They've never taken one in their entire, you know, history as a company. And then suddenly they jump on the bandwagon of something because they think that it looks like what they're supposed to do, right?
Right.
And I'm not saying that supporting those causes is bad. What I am saying is going from A to Z with nothing in between can make you look opportunistic rather than genuine. And I think it's very important for that reason to make sure that whatever those values are, adhere to those. Don't get lost in the weeds of, you know, okay, now we're over here and we're supposed to do this and people expect this. Like, stay true to yourself. And if your core values are not aligning with society, you know, do that carefully, right? Like, don't get yourself in hot water by, you know, pulling a Bud Light and going all the way to one side when you haven't established a track record of it, right?
Right.
So I think it's important to that kind of authenticity is so important, I think, now.
Do you think that given like the Bud Light situation, we've come to a certain point where the idea of companies leaning into social causes or political causes is feels to me like there's a backlash against it. Like it's very hard for that to seem authentic at this point when almost every brand feels like they need to be communicating that. Am I wrong in that perception? Or
I completely agree with you. I think it starts to whitewash a brand. So if you're supporting everything that every other brand is supporting, what makes you unique? What sets you apart? Yeah. Right. And it also, if you're only doing it for that moment, or you're just changing, you know, you're putting the pride colors on your logo just for Pride Week, or you're right. Those kinds of things. Mm. I think it leaves almost a worse impression than if you just didn't touch it. If that's not really authentic to what you're standing for and your core customer base and your, you know, I mean, I think all of those things need to be factored in because, it's if you've been in Jerry's and you've done that forever, that's great. Right.
Yeah.
Then you can do whatever you want because you've already established your brand as something that is fully supportive of those kinds of issues. Mm-hmm. But if you have zero skin in the game and you haven't donated anything or sponsored anything or right, like it's like you can't just suddenly go out and say something. Again, it goes back to that, you know, do what you say before you say what you do. So if you aren't doing something to support those causes on a consistent basis, usually I would say just bow out, right? Just don't put your foot where you don't have any ground to stand on.
Right. that's good. So also the big thing that everybody's discussing these days is AI, artificial intelligence. And I've talked with people on this show about how, you know, they find it a great tool for, you know, writing press releases. But you say that it can actually be really helpful in crisis communication. How is that?
So less so helpful and more so let's pay attention. So my concern now, and you know, to date, we've only really had to worry about what the findings that come up on Google, for example, when we search for our clients or their executives, is there something there that's unwanted that we need to push down? The concern with ChatGPT is that now it's going to be crawling the internet for all of these different things. What do you do if there's misinformation about your client that comes up through ChatGPT? Or maybe it's correct, but you don't want it there because they're trying to correct what they did that wasn't good. It's like a whole new SEO disaster waiting to happen, right?
Yeah. monumental, really.
Yeah. And so I think that it'll be really important for practitioners moving forward, not only to check Google and make sure that what's coming up about their clients is not going to hurt them, but now they also need to be checking all of those AI engines and make sure the same thing, right?
Well, how do you fix it if it's in an AI engine? Like, you have to train the AI to unlearn the fact that somebody did something that they shouldn't have done in 2002, right?
Yeah, that is not something I feel qualified to tackle, but I do think that somebody is going to have to get good at it really quick.
Well, you know, that's anybody out there listening, there's a job opportunity for you out there. Find out how to
100%.
Push back and retrain the AI to speak how you want. Oh, what interesting wars and fights the world is going to have over the next couple of years with this.
There was a defamation suit recently of a mayor in Australia that had actually been a whistleblower on something, but somehow ChatGPT had identified him as one of the villains in the scenario in which he was actually a whistleblower and it was coming up that way. So that's just one example I saw where I thought, oh boy, this is, you know, this could be interesting if that were your client. Oh boy.
Oh God. Oh geez. So also one of the trends happening right now in PR is the rise of affiliate marketing. And can you talk a little bit about how Trust approaches affiliate marketing and what its prospects are?
Yeah. So on the consumer side, when we're talking B2C PR, most of the time now, if you do not have an affiliate program set up as a brand, you will probably not get very much coverage, if any. And the reason for that is editors are now much more persuaded to include you in a listicle or roundup or, you know, any other kind of story that they're doing if they can include an affiliate link to your product or service, usually product in this case, that then gives them some kind of a kickback. Okay. And so they are there's even a new practice of, for example, saying, hey, for Mother's Day, from this date to this date, our percentage is going from 10% kickback to 20, or whatever it is that the brand is comfortable with. And that's a way of pushing editors to cover the story with your client included during that time frame. And so as a result, we have actually started that. We've had some clients that didn't have affiliate programs, so we've actually added affiliate marketing as something we offer. That we can run their affiliate marketing program, and then we can also do that back end, sort of changing numbers and things like that. Yes, that helps. Mm-hmm. And I would say it's interesting because I was thinking about the other day how back in the day it sort of felt like every PR agency was adding social media as another service that they offer, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like now if you're in the consumer space, if you aren't adding affiliate marketing as another service that you're offering, you're missing out pretty big.
It's also interesting that, publications are totally fine with it. You know, that they're open with it when I think it was something that was frowned upon a couple years ago. But now, given just the state of trying to get eyeballs on things and clicks, it's you got to take every buck you can get. And I think consumers aren't so bothered by it anymore in order to have a backlash, you know?
It concerns me as a former journalist of the credibility of the media moving forward and if that will be damaged at some point by consumers starting to feel like there's no difference between getting a story in a publication versus an ad.
Paid
advertising, because the whole point of PR obviously within the marketing mix is to build credibility, since we're the only component where you're not patting yourself on the back, but somebody else is lending their credibility to boost yours. So the challenge then becomes if that goes too far, if consumers are bothered by it, then what's the role of PR?
Right. Yeah. And yeah, if that publication no longer has the credibility to lend to the brand, then there's no win there. And then there's also the problem with the paywalls where, you know, you get that good placement for your brand in the New York Times and most people can't read it because it's behind the paywall. The Washington Post or Wall Street Journal, all those major credible publications are kind of inaccessible unless it's a major story that they bring in front of the wall. How do you manage that?
So that's something I'm still trying to work out in my mind, because in terms of showing clients the return on investment, if they don't feel like people can actually see the articles they get, you know, featured in, or they can't repurpose them on social media or in their newsletter or on their website and have people see it, that's problematic to say the least.
Right.
And in most cases, if you're going to use it on your press page or something, often you actually have to pay a fee as well to be able to feature it if it's behind a paywall. So then it adds a whole other expense that wasn't previously there, you know? So I think ROI and PR is probably the biggest issue that I see today. Mm-hmm. Especially as the other components of marketing have more and more and more and more data to be able to demonstrate that they were effective. So it's challenging to say the least. I don't know that I don't have a solution to it yet, but it's something that I'm noodling. Let's put it that way.
Another issue that's become a big problem, which is kind of close to my heart from what I do when I'm not interviewing people for the show, as I work as a writer for Upworthy, and the big problem is that these days, I mean, at a certain point, everything went from, you know, being in the, things were newspapers, and then they went online, right? And then once they went online, everybody's attention went to Facebook, and then the only way that the New York Times got a story out to the public was through Facebook. Right? And now Facebook wants to shut down basically all news articles. Most editorial content is being basically zapped off the platform. So if you get that placement in Complex magazine, or you get it in wherever, the chances of the public seeing it are much, much smaller now than even they were last year. So it's like these people, everybody was forced in the business into a funnel, and now that funnel is getting even smaller. So it's almost like you're eradicating the entire ecosystem.
Yeah, it's very concerning. It also makes people more prone to get news from free sources. Mm-hmm. Which means that we're diversifying all of the different channels we're getting news from, but it also means that it's, you know, very possible that people are getting misinformation.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. So, yeah, that's another stressful... I'm sorry to stress you out here.
No, this is my world. These are the things that already keep me up at night. Don't worry.
The title of the show, The Disaster That Is PR in 2024, with April White. How's it going, April?
I wouldn't say it's a disaster. I do think that there's still a big opportunity for people to use and leverage PR to gain credibility, and that, mm-hmm. you know, the media credibility has not plummeted to the point where it's no longer effective, but we do need to keep an eye on it and do whatever we can as practitioners to support the credibility of the media for all of these reasons.
Right.
And just frankly for society, right? For right, like the betterment of society.
It's kind of the backbone of democracy, you know?
Just a little bit.
So, with trust relations, I see that you guys have blogs, you're very active on LinkedIn. You're very, you know, pushing hard to be, you know, to show your thought leadership in this space. What's your philosophy about thought leadership?
I think that thought leadership has become increasingly important. I think people are now expecting you to be out there with interesting thoughts and things to say, pushing the envelope of whatever industry you're in, whether it's PR or one of your clients in a different industry. I think that it's a way of showcasing your differentiators and also just showing that you're a thoughtful business, mm-hmm. you're a thoughtful business owner, and not doing everything the way everybody else has done it. And I think that people are gravitating towards brands in general that are pushing the envelope to make the world a better place. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a lot of why people have been so attracted to brands that are very, you know, vocal in the socio-political space. But again, obviously, we already had the conversation about the caveats around that. But I do think that it's ingratiating yourself to your target audience by just showing that you're a thoughtful human who's trying to better the industry in whatever small way you can, goes a long way towards making people trust you.
Right. Yeah. Very good. I was a little bit nervous before doing this interview today, and I will say because you are the host of two podcasts. Okay, and then I think, you know, oh no, I've got another pod. If I got somebody who isn't a podcaster on the show, I know that at least I feel a little more comfortable. You know, and maybe I'm holding, I'm holding their hand. But if this is a situation where, you know, now on the other side of me, I'm interviewing somebody who is a master of the art of podcasting, then I feel a little diminished personally. But so please explain the two different shows that Trust puts out. I know one's PR Wind Down, where wine is consumed, which, I mean, I'm doing this at 8 in the morning, so I should be having a mimosa. We have a PR mimosa hour. That would be nice. But so tell me about the two shows you have.
So the PR Wind Down was started primarily to focus on how we are trying to kind of bust down the door on some of the antiquated practices within the PR industry. So we do a lot of sort of pulling back the curtain on things I think most people don't want to talk about or have tried to pretend aren't so. Every episode we have a horror story where somebody writes in and talks about something that happened to them and sometimes, you know, ask for advice or ask a question at the end, which are, it's just refreshing, I think, for listeners to go, oh, I'm not alone, right? This crazy thing also happened to someone else. I think it's easier for people to feel less alone and sort of like crazy, right?
Yeah,
for what
they've
been through. And that was a big piece of it. So I would say that, you know, a big focus of the PR Wind Down is more so on recruiting and finding like-minded people within the industry that are like, oh, there's an answer. There's a solution. Somebody else sees that there's a problem here and is trying to fix it as sort of a way of comforting them. And ideally, if they think they're a great fit for the agency, you know, maybe they join us at some point, right? We started the Trust Relations podcast primarily to focus more so on potential clients because I don't feel like the audience for the PR Wind Down really is catered towards potential clients or existing clients. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to have it be a little bit more information forward when it comes to where PR fits into the marketing mix and things like that. So it's more expansive. It takes it a little bit further outside of PR and talks more about parallel, you know, tactics that people should know about as a PR practitioner so that when they're talking to a client, they don't feel blindsided if somebody asks them something about affiliate marketing or SEO or, you know, content marketing, things like that. So there, it's a little bit more broad and it's focused. Yeah.
I apologize if you're hearing my dog barking in the background. I don't know. It's a loud one, is what it is.
Wait, is it not your dog? It's a random dog.
No. I don't know what breed the dog is.
I see.
It's a he's a rescue, but I will tell you the fun story about it. He's I guess we think he's some kind of like Swiss Mountain Dog. He's something that is
like
very
a Bernese
big
Mountain Dog or something.
It's like that, but like without the big hair, you know. And we got him because my wife's friend has a friend who is a dog rescuer, and she's also the nanny for William and Meghan Markle. So we got the dog, and it was like from Meghan Markle and Prince Harry's nanny, and we were like, "Wow, it's like a royal dog." So we named him Archie after their baby. So we call him Archie the royal dog. You know,
he has a full title.
Yes, he is. He's probably, you know, he could be a hemophiliac like the rest of the royal family. Who knows? But anyway, so with that, April, thank you so much for coming on the show. And please tell me, tell the audience where they can keep up with you, where they can hear the podcast, where they can check out Trust Relations.
Perfect. So our website is trustrelations.agency and it has links to the podcast. The podcasters are on every single platform where you would listen to a podcast. So you can find it there. Just search for PR Wind Down or Trust Relations, the podcast. You can email me at april@trustrelations.agency. And we also are very active on Instagram and Facebook. So you can find us there as well, Trust Relations.
Wonderful. Thank you. It's been a pleasure having you on the show. And best of luck in 2024.
Thank you. Likewise. Thanks so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
PR360 was produced by Todd Perry in partnership with Global Results Communications. Be sure to subscribe to the show and leave a review wherever you get podcasts. Follow GRC on all socials at Global Results. Follow Todd on Twitter at Todd A. Perry. That's Todd with one D. Talk to you next week.